recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, don't forget to join Cure for Our Friends. It's their annual charity golf tournament that benefits cystic fibrosis families. And that'll be on Saturday, September 26th. Yes, like I said, it's September. And that'll be on Saturday, September 26th. It's 12 Stones Golf Course. This golf tournament is their biggest event of the year. They're offering 1 o'clock p.m. tee times, snacks and beverages on the course, and catered dinner by Courtney's of Mount Juliet. For more information, go to thegamenashville.com and click on the events tab for more information. Appreciate Derek Mason for joining us. We plan on talking to him every week on the program. And so it was a good little chat with him. By the way, Zach Cunningham, that I brought up with him, got rewarded with a $58 million contract extension with the Houston Texans. So he has done very well. What was he, a second-round pick by Houston?
Mm-hmm.
He has done quite well.
Now, that was a good move on that defense by GM Bill O'Brien.
Well, it wasn't GM Bill O'Brien. No, but I mean, he wasn't GM.
No, I'm saying to extend him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're leading tackler. Why not, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He is one of the best players. You know, if I put my list together, having watched as much Vanderbilt football as I've watched over the last 30 years, I would say Jordan Matthews is number one for me, best football player. But Zach Cunningham is probably number two. He's easily in the top five. I just thought that guy was phenomenal, just watching him week in and week out, you know, the plays that he made. Just an incredible, incredible football player.
No doubt about it. Let's switch gears. Let's talk a little hockey and talk a little Preds here. So, Chase, I'm going to kind of let you get the discussion going, and we'll go from there.
So we've discussed this amongst ourselves, and then Adam Vingan of The Athletic wrote this article that came out today, and it should be no surprise that this question gets brought up. With Barry Trotz and the Islanders having the run that they're having right now, obviously he won the cup in Washington, the Predators being in the situation that they're in, getting knocked out of the qualifying round, had already made the coaching change, people, their minds start to wander, and you go, well, what if they never made the change? What if Barry Trotz stayed? What would it look like? Would the Preds have a cup? Would they still be in the playoffs right now? Could he coach this team? All these questions that we'll never know the answer to. But I thought Adam did a good job of laying all this out, of trying to answer that question. And he had Stu Grimson as a part of it, was in there. He talked to Kimmo Tiimonen. There were some other players that were quoted in the article. But the thing that...
There were some unnamed players.
Unnamed players, yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was interesting.
But the quote that you have to look at, and I stand by and I agree with, is one of the first ones he used, and that was from Trotz himself. Quote, we had one understanding. I said, David, you're not going to have to say a whole lot. Just come in and say it's time, and I'll be okay with it. And he goes on to say more. I can't get past that when they made that move, when David Poile made the move and Barry left, it was time. It was time to make a change. So it's hard to play the what-if game. It's fun to play the what-if game, but there were so many different factors, and Peter Laviolette came in, and yes, it didn't end the way that everybody wanted it to end, but there was still a lot of success, more success than had ever happened with this team under Peter Laviolette. And Barry Trotz had more success that he has ever had personally, you know, with Washington, and now we'll see what happens with the Islanders. So I get the question. I know that it's not going to go away, but I do believe that the best move was made for both parties involved at the time.
I could not agree more. I really enjoyed the article. I think there's some fantastic insight.
Me too.
Especially on Barry Trotz as a coach from some of his former players, a couple of which you mentioned, and a couple that, for whatever reason, decided not to put their name behind their statements, even though what they said I thought was really, really insightful. But I don't think the question should be, should they have not fired Barry Trotz? There's not a single person who was asking that question for 5 years, right? I think when they let Barry Trotz go, it had been 15 years. So it was just time for a change. And Barry Trotz lasted, it just speaks a lot to Barry Trotz that he made it 15 years for an expansion team. Nobody thought he'd make it 3 years. Look at all the expansion coaches in the NHL and look at their average time of lasting. It's not very long. It's nowhere close to 15 years. So even the biggest Barry Trotz supporters, and I would put myself in this class, understood that it was a time for a change. So looking back on it, it's very revisionist history to say, what if they had kept Barry Trotz? That just is not realistic. It is, if you get past that part, it's a really interesting article to talk about what did they give up when they let Barry Trotz go, and what did they gain from Peter Laviolette? Because it was a complete shift in directions at a time where they needed a shift. And I think David Poile, the minute he let Barry Trotz go, he knew Barry Trotz would be very successful for another team. He knew that. And he's very happy, sincerely, for Barry Trotz for all the success he's had.
I'm not a great person to ask this question to because I'm very, very biased, and I don't run from that, and I don't hide from it. I'm very open about it. I mean, I just – the way I feel about Barry Trotz, I'm not willing to go as far as you guys did, because here's the one thing that will always stick out to me. Barry made the most of what he was given. He was never given much, and I understand the circumstances. The first ownership group with Craig Leopold and just the early days. I know this, and Willie knows it, because we were privy to a lot of behind-closed-door meetings, a lot of private meetings. And it didn't, you know, they didn't snap their fingers. For all the people that have moved here in the last 5 years, I know you think this is the way it's always looked. It hasn't. And I wish it had always looked this way, but it didn't, okay? This was a slow climb up a Nashville mountain for the Predators hockey team, okay? This organization has had to do a lot of hard work to get to this point today. And if you've moved here in the last 5 years, you've been able to reap the benefits of a long journey and a lot of hard work and a lot of frustration that they had to endure, because Craig Leopold was frustration number one. Now, I don't think he exactly helped himself by some of the people that were hired. I don't think they were the right fit, my personal opinion, for a brand new organization. There were a lot of great hires. By the way, some are still with the organization. But there were also a lot of people that I don't think helped endure people behind the scenes because of kind of their attitude. You know, it's why I gave the speech early on about soccer in this market. Like, don't be a soccer snob. Don't frown upon people and look down upon people who don't know your sport that you love and have the passion for. How about help grow it? How about be patient with them? How about teach them? You know, rather than talk down upon them because they don't know the lingo or they don't know the rules or they don't know much about the sport that you love. Because a lot of that went on here. There were a lot of people who were hockey snobs, and it's like, well, you don't get to talk about my sport because you don't know it inside and out like I do. Well, that didn't help grow the sport. That just drove some people away, like, fine. Well, then I won't even try. And then there were a lot of people in this market that just simply, as Willie and I both know, media members and others that never gave it a shot. Never. And were never going to. Didn't matter what you did. And that's fine. I mean, that's their choice. I don't think that's responsible as someone who covers sports in your market. But for fans who just never gave it a chance, that's completely up to them. That's okay. I didn't agree with it, but it's okay. And Willie and I spent many, many years just actively recruiting people of here. Here's tickets. Just go. Just give it a try. If you don't like it, you can at least say you went. And that's okay if you don't like it. but at least try. Don't say you don't like it, but you've never tried. That's all we ask.
You know what's funny,
Darren?
We did
that for years. I can't tell you. And, you know, for sometimes it was frustrating, and sometimes, Willie, it was you got to see, you know, you got to reap the benefits of seeing somebody come back and go, wow, I loved it. We loved it. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
We're going back again.
And that happened.
So that
more
was
often.
The payoff. Yes.
That happened more often than not. I did have one funny story come to mind as you were saying that. Darren, I don't know if you remember this, but our buddy Eric, right, one of our Hall of Fame all-time listeners going back before I was even on Sports Talk Show, I used to listen to him call George.
Who recently just called out of the blue, by the way.
He did. We want to hear from Eric more. I don't know if his
like,
sometimes
we have not heard
you know,
from
he's
him
had different
years.
Jobs, different schedules at different times in his life. But I remember one time we got Eric tickets to a Predators
so
game.
So have we, by the way, Willie.
We got – yes, that's true. We got Eric tickets to a game one time, and it was the dullest game of the season. It had to have been. It was like 1-0, and nothing happened. I was like, I just felt so bad because I was like, Eric, this just isn't it. And he's just not going to get it. He's going to walk out of there going, oh, well, I tried hockey and, you know, before. And so you never know what you're going to get. But I do think a lot of people have, you know, enjoyed learning the game on different levels as this team has put more years behind them. But so circling back, Darren, I know you're a huge, huge fan of Barry Trotz, but even you, I don't think was sitting there, you know, just not understanding how they could possibly change coaches after 15 years. It seemed like a logical time to make a change.
No.
Right?
No, I couldn't envision that because we also could not envision what we would then see. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Because Peter Laviolette did exactly what he was tasked to do. He gave him a huge shot in the arm.
But he also
he did
was
it a
given
different way.
A lot of resources that Barry Trotz wasn't. And that's where I'm going with this. Like,
well, eventually,
huge...
but his team overachieved big time the first year. He set the tone early with a team that was not expected to do a whole lot.
Oh, okay, but Barry did that too, you know. But they got out in the first round against Chicago. So, I mean, that's something we had been accustomed to in this market. That wasn't anything new there. What, they lose in six? I mean, okay,
yeah,
first round loss
in
six.
That was a pretty huge turnaround from the 2 years before that.
Barry didn't overachieve with teams in this market?
Well, of course he did, but the 2 years leading up to them parting ways with Barry Trotz didn't go well, and a lot of that was not Barry Trotz's fault. Pecorine had the hip issue, you know, the virus that almost cost him. I mean, it was a very serious thing that
could
derailed
have his career.
Absolutely. They had the lockout year where everybody
people,
got hurt.
Really, I had people privately were adamant telling me behind the scenes, he'll never be the same. You got to understand, he's never going to be the same. He may come back. He may attempt to come back. He will never be the same. I had people that would swear by it. And guess what? They were wrong.
Listen, I would have backed Barry Trotz the whole time. I was willing to back him as long as possible. But I also understood that at a certain point in time, regardless of the circumstances, people want a shakeup. And this is the most patient organization that there is, right? There hasn't been much more of a patient person than David Poile. He does not make coaching changes on a whim. In an industry, by the way, that makes coaching changes on the fly like nobody's business. They're worse than the baseball managers. Right? At shuffling coaches in and out of there. But they say with Barry Trotz. So I got it. And I think even Barry Trotz got it. He knew that, hey, that's everybody's day comes. Right? But that doesn't mean you can't be completely happy for him going in his direction, which has been a huge success. And also the Predators that I thought had huge success under Peter Laviolette. There's no question about it.
My point was, because of this local ownership group that we went through of Craig Leopold and, you know, all the stories that people that weren't here in the market that, you know, don't know what we're talking about when we talk about Jim Buscelli and Richard Rodier and all the crap that went on, and there was a chance this team was going to move, and this ownership group that saved the franchise and not only saved it, now have survived and thrived, and people like Sean Henry and others, all the hard work, Chris Jungens, all them behind the scenes, all that. I mean, Nat Harden's been there from the day one. Okay, he has seen everything, and there's a lot of good people that now this is what they envisioned from the get-go, and it didn't happen. But now, because of the fans who have shown up and sold out these games and buy merchandise and support this team like nobody's business. You know, we don't talk about games in the fall anymore on Tuesday and Thursday nights of,
sure.
Oh, wow, look around here. Edmonton's in town, and there's 7,500 people in the stands. We don't ever have those guys. Like, there's so many people out there listening that have no clue what we're talking about. They're like, what? Yeah, that existed. Hey, it'll work once football season's done. When's the last time we had that conversation?
Right. Okay? You're making a valid point, Darren.
The point is, money has been where this franchise
resources.
Is today. The resources, Barry never got to endure the resources. That's my only hang up is when Peter Laviolette got here, what'd they do? Right away, boom, go get James Neal. Boom, go get this.
For James Neal.
Yep. Right out of the gates. Like, it is like all of a sudden you could do whatever you wanted to do, and all I'm saying is Barry never got to endure the resources that have been here since he left.
Right.
Because of the fans, Sean Henry, the ownership group, and everything that's happened since he left. That's all I'm saying.
I think that's a very valid point, that they had the tools to succeed a little easier as they became more of a cap team. No question about it. The other big theme of this article, which I think is part of why what happened, is Barry Trotz, and we're seeing it right now. His style of play, his way of going about the game, that was an issue, right? Not only had the team had a couple of bad seasons, but they weren't very exciting to watch because they were playing a very defensive-oriented system. And some of the quotes in there, especially the unnamed player, who said, you know, I felt like as a young player I could play a great offensive game, but Barry Trotz was all over me about my defensive game, the mistakes that I would make. I mean, that's what Barry Trotz's system was about. But also from a fan standpoint, there were some fans, as much as they respected Barry Trotz, you know, they were getting tired of losing and also not being able to have any kind of electrifying, you know, scoring nights to go with it. And that's why they turned to Peter Laviolette, who played a different way, right? From the day that he was hired, Peter Laviolette was saying, we're going to play going forward. We're going to be an offensive team. So it was just a style change. I go back to it was more of a change for the sake of change, right? Both styles are effective. I think both of these coaches will end up in the Hall of Fame, both Barry Trotz and Peter Laviolette. Barry Trotz is number 4 in all-time wins.
Barry
right
Trotz
now.
Is getting into the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
He's
Peter Laviolette is number 16. He's taken three different teams to the Stanley Cup final. I think he'll get another chance to coach, and I think he'll be in the Hall of Fame.
If he wins it with the Islanders, like, it's done. Like, then go on and have the ceremony. It's done.
Yeah, I don't even know if he has to win another one.
I don't either. I'm saying if that happens, it's done. Like I said, you can go on and have the ceremony right now. The minute they win the Stanley Cup, if that were to happen. By the way, they could do it this year. That could happen.
They got an opportunity.
I mean, they're looking pretty good right now.
They're looking really good.
But I think there's so many valid points in this conversation. But, and you know, whether it's who's a Hall of Famer, who's not, who's the better Hall of Famer, who's not, I stand by that it was time. And for Barry too, because I mean, look what Barry ended up doing. I mean, he went to Washington and in his 4 years there won the cup. So, and the biggest knock on him was, Alex Ovechkin, you know, he's going to stall Ovechkin. He can't coach Ovechkin. Well, that turned out to be false because he did a pretty darn good job. But who's to say that if Barry Trotz stays here, they still make the trade for James Neal, what it looks like. I mean,
they gave up a heck of a player to get James Neal.
Yeah,
Patrick Hornquist is a heck of a player.
Pretty darn good in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so it was a style. It was a little bit more what works with this coach. You know, David Poile deserves a lot of credit for shaping the roster closer to what Peter Laviolette wanted, and they also kind of caught lightning in a bottle. Pekka Rinne bounced back. He had a huge resurgent season the next year. You know, Mike Ribeiro was a great find out of nowhere. That team was a little bit thin, with talent, but they got the most of that talent. That's why I say that you almost couldn't go wrong. But it's revisionist history to say should they have not changed coaches, because there was not a lot of huge outcry of what are they thinking changing the coaches?
Because they had never had any success. That's the only reason. And you know what? If Peter didn't have the success, if they didn't have that one run to the Stanley Cup final, people would still be there. I mean, what? That's there's no doubt.
Let's not act like it was just the one run. They made the playoffs every year.
Yes,
they
had a President's Trophy. We know
two
the
division titles. I mean, that was their best run of success.
And he and got
had,
whatever
and
he
had
wanted
more resources.
He wanted, he got. Barry never had. I'm saying the one time he got a legit goal scorer that got everybody's attention was Paul Kariya. How did that work out under Barry Trotz?
It worked out really well. They scored a ton of goals.
Were they pretty successful? Did they score a lot of goals?
Yes.
Well, isn't that weird how that works? He got the one time he got a legitimate goal scorer, a Hall of Famer. Wow, look what happened. They had tons of success, and they scored tons of goals. It's weird.
Yeah, because Leopold went for it. He knew that he had to go for it, and that was part of going for it.
That's part of my point. How do we know that it was time if Barry was never given that when he was here? One time we saw it, and look what happened. They had success. It didn't play out in the playoffs, albeit. I get it. Okay, but look, they got Paul Kariya, and oh, by the way, they scored a ton of goals, and they were fun to watch, and they had success.
Right, Part of the answer, part of what is discussed there is, could they have had similar success if you wave a magic wand and they had stayed with Barry Trotz? This would have been, his 21st consecutive season? Can you imagine that?
The same GM, the same head coach?
And, who's to say? But I think there's no question that it could have happened. Barry Trotz has proven to be a great coach. Part of what's discussed in here, which I think is really cool, is one of his former players said, I've changed my tune on Barry Trotz and his style of play after watching what he's done. He said, I was surprised by Barry Trotz's success. He didn't think he would have that much success after he left the Predators. When his style of coaching was in Nashville and we didn't have that star power, it all amounted to boring hockey. We relied on that style of play more because we recognized that we didn't have the offensive power. He was impressed, in other words, that when he went to Washington and he had a team that was known to be able to score but not play defense, that he could get them to find that happy median of still being able to have the offensive firepower to win but also being a great defensive team. That's his great mark that he left on Washington, is getting those guys to buy in and win a championship when they had tried plenty of coaches before him that could not get them to buy in defensively.
Jeff Fisher and Floyd Reese were here a long time, too. And I would say until Vrabel and John Robinson got here, you could say that it wasn't the – look how they looked post them. We've talked about it. I mean, how long did it take to get – it just – sometimes I don't necessarily buy the whole it's just time. Just because everybody else does it doesn't mean you have to.
Things get stale. Things get stale.
Right.
Peter Laviolette has gone to several different places where he comes in, generates a ton of success early, then it kind of, for whatever reason, the act wears thin. And he's not unlike dozens of other coaches who, for 4 or 5 years, boom, you have success, and then they go somewhere else, and they do the same thing. Barry Trotz has now been 3 different places. he's weaves his web and does his thing.
I'm just saying it only works, Willie, if it works afterwards, right? That's the only time it works, because if Philadelphia doesn't do what they did, you think they would like to have Andy Reid back? Like, think about if they were just kind of like an 8-8 team, 7, they just have been kind of muddling along, right? Just been kind of okay, average. You think that they would have said it's time for Andy Reid to go?
It's a great example.
You think it was time?
Andy Reid is a lot like Barry Trotz, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's exactly right.
But to your point of saying that you don't always believe that it's time, in January when they made the move here, it was time. We saw that. It wasn't working anymore. And we just laid out the successes that Peter Laviolette had.
But I'm not comparing Peter Laviolette to Barry Trotz. Peter Laviolette, at every stint, this was the longest stint he had ever had. every stint was about 4 years, and it was done.
Right. I understand that. But it was still time. So, I mean, because you just said that you don't always buy that. So,
well, in his case, history has shown every 4 years it's time.
Yeah. But
Barry
but
Trotz
he lasted,
doesn't have that.
But he lasted longer here than Barry Trotz lasted in Washington.
Right, and it wasn't time.
Which is weird.
It was just they decided, no, we're going to go with Todd Reard and we can do better, and we see how that turned out. So, and look, there's going to always – it's like a trade. Sometimes you hit on them, sometimes you don't. And at the time, David Poile did what he thought was best for the organization to go win, and they didn't win the cup, but it worked. Like, they came close. They had more success than they've ever had. And on the flip side of it, Barry Trotz goes to an extremely talented team, the most talented team that he's ever had, and he ran with it, and he won the Stanley Cup. So hindsight being 2020, it worked out, except for the
it
Cup
did.
Here next.
And I'm not saying that it wasn't – look, you guys, if you think that I'm saying it wasn't time, I'm just simply bringing it to the table. I would have liked to have seen Barry Trotz given the chance –
yeah.
And afforded the luxuries. He had to go through climbing the mountain like all of us from day one. Okay, everybody who was a part of the history of the organization from the time they landed here, people in those walls over there that are still there, and fans that have been day one season ticket holders, media people in cover, everybody saw the evolution of it, and he had to go through all of that, building this up.
He didn't
in
have a ski
market.
Lift. He didn't have a ski lift to climb the mountain.
No.
He had to climb it one step at
a
time.
Yes.
I mean, he had a tough terrain to get up that mountain.
Yes, he did.
There's no
and
question.
I'm just saying he never got the chance to see, he got the chance to see what it is today. And I'm sure I would love in a private setting to know, gosh, how many times he came in here and went like, man, I wish it was like this night in and night out. Whenever I was here, I wish it was this death trap to come to night in and night out, no matter what time of year, whether it was October or whether it was March, and had the unlimited resources and the craziness that this market has become today. I'm sure he's had the, man, I wish I could have at least given the opportunity, for a season.
It's a good thought. I'm usually the one that is saying, give the coach a chance. Let's not have an itchy trigger finger on the coach. That's been pretty consistent, I think, for me. But I also know that there are coaches that do get reinvigorated when they start over somewhere.
Sure.
And they become better. They learn from what happened before. They get a fresh start, and they become better for it. I think there's some of that logic with Barry Trotz, right? I think it probably forced him to become a better coach when he got a new set of circumstances.
That
does
happen.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
And both sides end up being better.
Sure.
For it was time for a fresh start here, a different philosophy. There were some players that flourished under Peter Laviolette that weren't flourishing under Barry Trotz, and the same thing happened for Washington. There were players that flourished under Barry Trotz that had not flourished under the previous three or four coaches that they had tried.
I think the only thing for me that changed, this is the reason I'm bringing it up, because I agree. That's the reason I brought up Andy Reid, and you said, hey, that's probably – I agree with that. And what's the difference? Like, I don't think anything changed with Andy Reid. I'll tell you what changed. He had Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I was about to
and he didn't have Mahomes in Philadelphia. And you know what changed for Barry Trotz? He had some guy named Ovechkin, who's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he didn't have that here. Like, I don't know that anything really changed. Like, I get what you're saying, and I don't disagree with it. I think you're right. Sometimes the change of scenery, you reflect, you go back, and your new stop, maybe you do little things here, you do little things there that are different, and you live and you learn. But I think, honestly, what changed is Andy Reid has a guy named Mahomes in Kansas City. Because he had a ton of success in Philadelphia, but he didn't have a guy by the name of Mahomes. And Barry Trotz he did the best with what he had to work with, and then he gets a guy like Ovechkin, who's the best scorer we have in the league for how long, and he wins a cup. I think that's what changed. They didn't have a guy like
I
that
can,
here.
I can give you a specific example where I think just the style change helped. Remember, Phil Housley, he was kind of an in-betweener, right? He spent a year under Barry Trotz and was held over for Peter Laviolette. Well, in that time, what was happening? You had a maturing trio of guys in Ryan Ellis, Matthias Ekholm, and Roman Josi. Those three guys specifically were just kind of learning the ropes. And this is where you can't do anything about the timeline. But they were still struggling to really blossom. And I think people would tell you that Peter Laviolette, with the help of Phil Housley, they kind of unlocked that system of letting the defenseman jump up in the offensive rush more. That was not a Barry Trotz thing, right? That's not a Barry Trotz philosophy, is have, you know, an offense where your defense really is carrying the play and carrying the puck. But Peter Laviolette brought that out in them. I don't know if you would have seen that under Barry Trotz. But at the same time, there's a whole other set of strengths that Barry Trotz has that Peter Laviolette probably doesn't have, right? You get different coaches have different strengths and weaknesses. And it's just a matter of, does it fit with the personnel? And I think when you had ownership and you had the fan base kind of hungry for something a little different, something a little more wide open, and you also had the players in Josi, Ekholm, Ellis, and then obviously eventually PK Subban that fit with that philosophy. And it was a hit. So that's just the way it goes a lot of times. But we're having a fascinating discussion about this. That's why that's what I enjoyed about the article. I just think nobody at the time that they made the change was sitting there going, I can't believe they've made a change. What were they thinking? There was most people that said, okay, I can see why you would make a change here.
Yeah. You know when I knew this was going to come up, and this was before Adam even wrote the article, but
I said it in a text?
No, actually before
that. Like 3 nights ago?
Actually before that, believe it or not.
I said, if they keep winning, you watch all this.
I know.
Did I not say that in a text?
Did,
get ready for it. If the Islanders keep winning, this conversation is coming. That was, 3 days ago?
Yes, and Darren did say that 3 days ago, can confirm. But when I had this thought of, I bet this could be a conversation, when David Poile used the words, we have to get back to the Predators' way.
Yep.
And Adam quoted that.
Yep.
But when he said that, because that was, you immediately think Barry Trotz, the Predator way.
All right, we'll come back and put a bow on Tuesday's show. Looks like running back Joe Mixon of the Bengals has gotten a new deal, a little 4-year extension, which is only going to have Alvin Kamara even more upset, because it seems like that's what he is seeking in New Orleans. And for a guy that's already drafted him, by the way, this is why I don't like having drafts this early, because think about the people who drafted Leonard Fournette pretty high.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Fantasy draft. Luckily, I did not, but
my son did.
Yeah,
and so he is anxiously awaiting. 4 o'clock Eastern, I think it is when the waiver period is over, and so I would imagine tonight we'll find out something, whether he's been picked up on the waiver wire or whether he becomes a free agent.
Do you guys think he was claimed?
I am going to guess yes, but it's probably 60-40.
Yeah, I lean yes, but I think 60-40 is a good. That's a good one.
That's probably about right.
And how about Joe Mixon? How far has he come? Remember, there was a time where some people thought he'd never play because of what happened, rightfully so. Right? But you know, without knowing him at all, he's at least managed to not have a second incident that has further sealed his fate, right? He's not defined by that one incident. I'd like to think that. I don't know how he conducts himself on a daily basis, but they've invested in him. And so, you know, it's a tricky subject, because you want somebody to be responsible for what they've done. He paid a pretty heavy price, but he's made the most of the second chance, at least as far as I can tell.
So he gets a new 4-year contract extension, which actually ties him to Cincinnati for 5 more seasons. But I need to see the language to see how long it really is. You never know in the NFL. So that puts him now. So McCaffrey makes $16 million. Ezekiel Elliott in Dallas makes $15 million. Le'Veon Bell, $13.1 million. David Johnson, $13 million. Yikes, those two contracts, yikes. Derrick Henry, $12.5 million. And now Joe Mixon at $12 million. I don't know if he's worth $12 million a year, but
I guess they're hoping with, you know, Burrow that he can thrive and that offense can take off. But yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't know about $12 million.
Still haven't been blown away by Joe Mixon yet.
It's a big investment.
Yeah.
They certainly haven't won a lot.
No. I mean, I know he rushed for over 1,000 last year, but we have 5 touchdowns.
We know how people invest in running backs sometimes, and it's not much. It's not that much. A lot of times you figure, well, we'll find another guy that can get 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
So is he that much better than what you could get for a lot less money? That's what we're going to find out.
That is what we're going to find out. We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day. Be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.